Welcome to the Put Yourself First podcast. I want to talk to you today about the link between trauma and manifestation, your unconscious mindset and manifestation, and why you really need to have tools and processes to work with both in order to get results, in order to manifest anything. And I genuinely feel like the manifestation world, at least the very mainstream, popularized version, is that word? It is now. Version of manifestation needs a trauma-informed makeover, because it is not going to fucking cut it anymore to be telling yourself to just think positively in order to manifest more results in your life. Like, no, we're done with that. That's so, like, 2019. We're over that. And at the same time, many people don't understand the links between trauma work and manifestation and how they can gain more clarity and actually feel like they are moving forward in their life rather than staying stuck in cycles like self-sabotage or procrastination or self-doubt, low energy, low mood, all the things you can get stuck in if you remain trapped in the current cycle you're in that is basically being maintained by your unconscious mind and your trauma. With that said, I want to remind you of two things. The first is that Manifest That Shit, my free workshop series, is happening throughout this week. So I'll pop the link to it in the show notes. Make sure you're signed up. It's not too late to join, even if you're listening to this later in the week, next week even. Sign up and get the replays. The second thing is that Doors to Next Level You are opening this Thursday, the 28th of March. And again, there is a huge announcement coming and you do not want to miss this. Mark your calendar for Thursday and join Manifest That Shit to be in the know about everything you need. So let's talk about your unconscious mind and how your unconscious mind maintains the results you're currently getting. Even if those results are things you don't want, even if those results are not making progress or not taking action. Before we begin, I want to remind you of a couple of things that I have shared on the podcast before, but in case you've missed those episodes, your unconscious mind is being formed from the ages of 0 to 7 most strongly. Like, those are our strongest developmental years, where you are essentially a sponge. You are pure unconscious. Your critical faculty, aka your full ability to think logically and to reason and to have different thoughts and to start forming your own opinions and your own ego, essentially, which is what shapes your identity, like who you are in differentiation to your parents or to your caregivers. That only starts fully forming from the age of about 7. Obviously, your unconscious can be affected throughout your life by traumatic events, by painful experiences, by significant experiences, even positive experiences. But from the ages of 0 to 7, I want you to remember that you are pure, or you were pure unconscious, like a sponge, essentially looking around the world to create what is known as your own worldview. So your worldview, imagine everyone has their own unique pair of glasses. So everyone's been to Specsavers or their local opticians, and they have received a prescription for their own glasses. Everyone has their own unique pair of glasses. If I put your glasses on, I'm not going to be able to see as clearly. I'm going to be like, ooh, I don't get this. Like, I can't see this. That is your worldview. Everyone sees the world differently, because we see the world through this lens, through this filter that is essentially maintained by your unconscious. And what happens is all of the conditioning that you've received, the beliefs that you formed, the identity you are forming, how you view yourself, how you view the world, how you view what you believe, the evidence that you've been given, about each area of your life, the conditioning that you have based on your upbringing, what your parents or caregivers thought about that thing, what they modelled to you, what they projected onto you, what they taught you, what teachers at school taught you, what your culture teaches you. Everyone's culture is unique. Different layers of privilege come into this. The level of privilege that you've experienced shapes your worldview. All these different things go in to that prescription of your lenses that you see the world view, you see the world through. This is really important because that lens that you see the world through is what is your filter. And your mind will filter everything, every single experience you have, every piece of information you receive through that filter. And so if you're trying to see something new, like a new goal, a new experience, a new, more positive or more helpful, more empowering belief, a new habit, something that you want to see and you want to be part, and you want it to be part of your reality, if that goes against your worldview, what is inside of that lens, what is inside of that prescription, your unconscious is not going to let that in. In terms of even how your mind works in picking up information around you, your mind can literally not erase, but choose to ignore certain pieces of information because part of your prescription is that that thing isn't important. So while someone else might notice something really positive that's happened, you don't, because it's not important in your mind. So let me give you an example of this. Let's say one person has a belief and a really strong embedded belief system and conditioning or traumas or whatever else around money. They've had a really rough upbringing with money. Maybe one of their parents comes from poverty or comes from an economically challenged, you know, family or community where they had to literally fight for their survival. And that parent is incredibly anxious around money and stressed around money. And also at the same time, very guarded and defensive and even at times judgmental about people with money, because they are triggered by people with money and they project that trigger onto people. So someone has grown up with that parent with that very specific set of their own worldview, and they've embedded by modeling, like literally a child will copy and download certain thoughts and certain opinions off their parents. So even if your parent says something to you, if they themselves believe different in their own mind and model behavior that is the opposite, that's what the child will pick up on. So if a parent says, believe in yourself, like you are beautiful, you are worthy, but then is talking shit about themselves in the mirror, putting themselves down, that's what the child is going to pick up on. The modeled behavior more than what is being said and attempted to teach to them. So let's say that parent who is very triggered by money and has, you know, has had a really rough upbringing with money. Let's say they are consistently feeling stressed around money. I had it on a client session the other day, looking at their bank account and panicking and having this intense emotional response to something simple and day-to-day as looking at their bank account or looking at the transactions coming in and out of the account or looking in their purse. And let's also say that they are arguing with the other caregiver, right, the other parent, about money a lot, maybe critiquing them for how they've spent money, or maybe constantly having these emotional reactions that come out as defensiveness or as anger or as stress response when it comes to money. All these things, including the projection and the judgment about someone with money, which could just be passing comments made, their parent never actually looked them in the eye and said, if you want more money, you're a bad person. But again, modelled behaviour. The child watched the parent talk to the other parent and talk shit about the neighbour or talk shit about a family friend. Who do they think they are for getting that car? Who do they think they are for, you know, spending money on that holiday? Like, I can't imagine how much that must have cost, and like gossiping. So let's say all of this is happening in that person's life. That person is going to grow up with a prescription that their lenses are going to have when they view money and finances. They are going to see money through that worldview of wanting money is bad, money is stressful, money causes conflict, money is therefore dangerous and unsafe because money caused conflict between my two caregivers, who are the number one people I needed to feel safe around. And so if they didn't feel safe around money, and I was a sponge absorbing their emotions growing up, absorbing their stress, I'm not going to feel safe around money. And so that person is going to have a world view of money being this stressful, bad thing that they need to worry about. But also this thing that they're kind of jealous of, because they see other people having money and judge them or project something onto them. And so if that person has that in their prescription of how they see the world, that person is going to filter through every money opportunity that they receive, every bit of money they earn, every thing that is tied to their finances, like the home that they buy, the things they spend their money on, investing in themselves, the job they have, the business they run, whatever it is, everything in their life that is related to money, they are going to filter through that worldview. And so if you believe money is stressful, money is bad, money is this dangerous and unsafe thing, you are not going to be able to see, literally see, opportunities to make money in a way that feels good, to make money whilst having fun, or maybe make money doing something you love, or make more money whilst having more joy in your life, and see that money creates more joy or more time freedom or more opportunities or more luxury or more safety rather than danger or stress or all these negative things. So if that person wants to manifest more money, and maybe they're like, oh, I want to get a new job doing something I love, they're literally going to struggle to even see those opportunities. And if they see them, their unconscious mind is going to struggle to accept that that is possible for them. Because that is like, it's like looking through someone else's glasses and seeing something, trying to see something over there, but it's foggy. Like it's blurry, you can't quite see it because it goes against that worldview. And so that is the power of your trauma in relation to manifesting your goal. Sometimes you literally cannot see what might be right in front of you, the potential in your life, the opportunities available for you, what is possible for you. Your mind will not allow you to see that or let you take that in because of that old world view that you have. And even if it does see it, it might not accept it. You know, it might disregard it or feel like it's not true or it's a lie. Because if you've been told your whole life by the person who you trusted most in the world, the person who fed you, who gave you life, the person who, as a child, as a baby, you literally look at and think is God, you think is the creator of your life. If that person who molded your life, who molded your reality, told you that money is a bad thing, or modeled that and has shifted and shaped that in your worldview, you, in your unconscious mind, does not want to go against that. It wants to maintain that programming. It wants to see everything through that prescription, through those glasses, at all costs. And so where the fuck do you go from here if you want to manifest a promotion in work, but you're dealing with all of that over there? You need tools and you need a process to go in and change out that prescription and take out those lenses and put in new ones so that your mind can start viewing the world in a different way. Viewing the world through a lens that empowers you, through a lens that shows you more of what you want, that allows you to accept more of the things that you want, to see and accept that it is possible to earn more money, or it is possible to be a good person and to value financial security, or it is possible to be a beautiful, kind-hearted person and to go on a 5-star holiday. It is possible to earn money doing something you love. It is possible to feel calm, safe and secure around money. It's possible to not be triggered when you look at your bank account. It's possible, and it's then becoming your reality because you are, your mind is accepting it and it's allowing you to see it and receive it. And that changing your worldview looks like using tools that allow your unconscious mind and your nervous system, and we'll talk about nervous system in a second, to feel differently, to go from feeling that money is dangerous to money is safe, money is calm, money is reliable. Insert whatever word you want to feel. But that coding process from unpacking, processing, releasing that old worldview and rewiring, embedding in a new worldview, that takes a skill set and a toolkit that most people cannot do on their own, which is why a program like Next Level You is so powerful and transformative when you can commit to the process of going through the toolkit, of coming back to the toolkit again and again, as and when you need, when you spot these blocks, when you spot these beliefs that are out of alignment with the life that you want. So that is your unconscious mind and your worldview, and that is such an important analogy for you to remember. The other part of this is more your body and your energy system. So your unconscious and your nervous system are in constant communication. So if your unconscious mind is creating and maintaining that worldview, those lenses of your glasses that you're looking out and viewing the world with, your nervous system is holding on to all of that information. You know, like your DNA, DNA strand is information. It's information about the colour of your hair, the colour of your eyes, the shape of your nose, your smile, all those things. Your nervous system holds on to this information that is encoded in through all those past experiences and everything that's happened in your life, good and bad, you know, positive and painful. And so your body, your nervous system holds on to that. It holds on to that information because if your unconscious is responsible for filtering through what you can see and what you reject, your nervous system is responsible for keeping your body alive, for literally maintaining all your organs functioning, for one. So thanks for that, body. That's amazing. But it's also responsible for that fight or flight mode, that system of survival and stress or rest and digest. So it has that switch in it to go from I am safe and can relax to something dangerous is happening or may happen. I need to either run away, fight it off, like figure out a way to, you know, freeze and act like play dead, or to fawn and like wiggle my way out of this situation. So your nervous system is responsible for remembering that information so that your body can go, ooh, this is safe or this is not safe, and therefore I'm gonna be triggered by it, I'm gonna stress about it. So going back to that money example, that all that coding in that person's unconscious around their beliefs around money, their money mindset, their conditioning around money, the trauma they've experienced around money, or the trauma that's been passed down about money from generations, their unconscious has fed that information through to their body. And that's happening in real time. So when a child is crying and is upset and is feeling unsafe because a parent is shouting or a parent is dysregulated and is having an argument in front of the child, or is really emotionally reactive and taking that out on the household, or is just feeling dysregulated, as we all are because we're humans. You know, this isn't about blaming anyone, but this happens. If a parent is in that dysregulated state in real time, that child is having a stress response themselves. They're feeling unsafe. And, you know, we've all remembered times when we're younger where you're crying or you're panicking or you feel scared. And what is biologically supposed to happen in that moment is the caregiver co-regulates with the child. So the caregiver picks up the child, hugs them, tells them they're going to be okay. If they're old enough, explains what's happening, gives them an outlet to express their emotions, lets them cry, you know, lets them share what they're worried about, gives them tools to process and cycle through that emotion and eventually calm down and have lots of cuddles or be able to talk about it or go for a walk together or go and play. And that, for that child, completes that stress response. So that fight or flight mode that was switched on, the child felt unsafe, the caregiver steps in and uses their own toolkit to help the child feel safe and feel calm, and then the child can complete that cycle, complete that stress response, and come back around to that feeling of safety and of regulation. Now, of course, we're all humans here and life isn't perfect. And so that doesn't happen always. And so let's say there are enough times where that happened around money and that child didn't receive that regulation, didn't receive those tools that they needed to feel safe, and were instead continuing to absorb all that was happening around them and creating in their own mind, eventually creating meaning around that, what money means. Without that regulation of their nervous system in that moment, that child holds on to that information. Because that is our survival response. That's how we stay alive. And again, if that child wants more than anything in the world to be safe, to be loved, to be accepted by that caregiver, because they literally rely on them to survive, they are going to mirror and match that nervous system response around that stimulus, which is why it can feel so strange, because you're like, I don't know why I get so triggered about this, but I noticed that when I was growing up, my mum would always stress about that, or my dad would always have that response in this area. It's like your nervous system has coded in that information and is responding to that trigger that you learned years and years ago. So your nervous system is responsible to keep you alive by responding via being triggered into that stress response. When you see or receive a certain piece of information in your world that matches that original stimulus, so that matches when you were growing up, that parent looked at the bank account and panicked and got really stressed and upset, or started an argument, or was really emotionally reactive and went on to shout at you about something unrelated. Your nervous system has remembered that initial stimulus, especially, you know, it's so unique to everyone. It's like, it tends to be, if it's repeated enough, and it also is a case-by-case basis, because sometimes what can happen as well, which is so interesting, is one sibling can remember certain triggers or certain traumas or certain experiences more, and it can affect them in a different way to another sibling. And that also goes like to a whole other conversation on your parents are different parents to you as they are to your sibling, which is a whole other episode. But all of this to say, this process is unique to everyone, so there's no pinpointing exactly why or how, like how many times this needs to happen in your childhood in order for you to feel triggered by something, by money, for example. But if it happens and it's emotionally intense enough, and then you didn't receive that co-regulation, that support to complete that stress response, your body holds on to that information, so that if in the future you're going to do something like checking your bank account, your body's going to remember that checking your bank account isn't safe, because of all these experiences where you were triggered into that stress response, or that stress response was modeled to you. And so you're gonna feel triggered. You're gonna find yourself feeling stressed. And then that brings us into a whole other conversation, right? And imagine like there's this library, or this like filing system in your nervous system, like a filing cabinet of all the things that have ever happened to you, and what that means, and what's safe and what's not safe. If something is not safe, so it's not safe to look at your bank account, or it's not safe to sit down and focus on your finances, or it's not safe to spend money, it's not safe to invest in yourself, you're gonna sit down and go to do one of those things, or make a plan to do one of those things. And because your nervous system has this filing cabinet that says, nope, that's not safe, that's dangerous, the wild thing that can happen is you will logically and consciously want to do that thing, and you will set a goal, you will make a plan, you will write on your to-do list, you'll put it in your calendar, you'll do all those other things, you'll download the productivity app, you'll do all this other surface level stuff, and yet you still won't do it. If you're not consciously aware of what's happening under the surface, you can see how can be pretty frustrating to come at something like manifestation, where you're like, oh yeah, I want to manifest that promotion. I want to manifest that pay rise. I want to manifest buying a bigger home. I want to manifest spending money on this beautiful, like, once in a lifetime trip, or whatever that financial goal is for you. And self-sabotage, or find yourself feeling blocked, or find yourself struggling to take action on that, or struggling to move forward, or even when that topic gets brought up, being irritable and being reactive to your partner or to the people around you that are bringing it up, and you don't know why, logically, consciously, because unconsciously your mind and your body does not want you to do that thing. It does not want you to earn that money. It does not want you to spend that money. It does not want you to invest that money. It does not want you to be in that intimate relationship with your money by budgeting or checking your bank account or investing money or saving or whatever, because of all that information that money is not safe. And this is the link and the pattern that happens between your past and your trauma and your belief system and your conditioning and what you know, quote unquote, to be true about the world, what your worldview is, and what you want to manifest. And that is the link between manifestation and trauma. Because if we don't have the right toolkit to really support yourself, you can wind up a year down the line, 2 years down the line, 10 years down the line, still struggling with triggers or money mindset issues or whatever else, self-sabotage, procrastination, self-doubt, low confidence, all these things that are rooted in that unconscious work, in that nervous system work. But you're reading a manifestation book and it's just telling you to think positively. And can you see how that is a failing for yourself and on the part? You know, I understand that for many people it's such a powerful notion and a powerful gateway into this world, and I'm here for the woman who's done with that surface level stuff and wants to go deeper. Because you realise that the deeper work is what will truly unlock the woman you're here to be. The woman who is living the life that is on your vision board. And that woman has created that life because she feels safe to have it. She feels safe to fucking go for it. She feels safe in knowing that she deserves it. And I want to finish here by talking about feeling safe, because I talk about this a lot inside of Next Level You, and safety is everything. But you will also hear, and I stand by this too, you have to leave your comfort zone. If you're seeing something in your worldview that is blurry, that is all the way over there, and you're like, what? Like, what? People earn money doing something they love, or what? People got that pay rise in my industry, or what? People are running their business that way, or what? People are living in that area, like, with a house that big, or with that money in their savings account. If you're looking with your worldview and thinking, what? Like, is that possible? Is that possible for me? That getting to that stage of thinking, holy shit, I need to take out these lenses and put in new ones, that is a process that is you doing something new, you leaving your comfort zone, you trying new things, you trying new tool, trying new modalities, new tools that are in the program, going deeper into your emotions and your mind, supporting yourself on a whole new level, taking fucking bold and brave action in spite of feeling fear, in spite of feeling like, can I do this? Like, am I allowed to do this? I felt like that so many times over the past 10 years, literally like, am I doing this? Am I actually, is this me doing this? Like, is this my life? Yes, it is. Because you're a grown woman and you can change, you can evolve, you can level up. It's going to feel uncomfortable. And so with that, leaving your comfort zone comes fear. So if you're probably thinking, well, if you're telling me to leave my comfort zone, Kat, and that's scary, how can I feel safe? Because if I'm leaving my comfort zone, that's the opposite of feeling safe. And what I will say is, yes, that is true. And the beauty of this work and the framework I take you through in Next Level You is that you get to tell yourself that you are safe in yourself and you have got your own back whilst you do the scary thing. And it's self-sourcing safety from within rather than seeking safety from external validation. And that as well, I feel like, is maturing, is growing up, is going from like little girl energy to grown woman energy. Because a little girl needs her parents to go, come on baby, do this, like, oh, try this, oh, go, let's go here next. A little girl needs that, needs someone else external to go, good girl, or try this, or let's do this, or let me help you do this. Here's a permission slip. A grown woman does not need that shit. She does what she wants because, not because she's an egomaniac, not because she's full of herself, not because of any other fucking bullshit story that society might have told you. She does that because she knows herself. She trusts herself and she has got her own fucking back. So even if she's doing something that literally terrifies her, and let me tell you, for example, when I sign the papers on our new home, manifesting that that will be happening by the end of summer, when I sign those papers, part of me will be scared because I am holding more than I ever have in my personal financial life. Part of me will be scared. Part of me will walk into a home that is bigger than like twice the size of our home now. And part of me might go, ooh, like, really? Is this really going to be my home? Am I allowed to live here? That little girl energy can come out sometimes. And it's important that that grown woman energy, that empowered, powerful energy is like, yeah. Yes, this is my fucking home. Yes, I am putting this offer into this house. Yes, I am paying down this mortgage. Yes, I am living in this home. Yes, this is my life. Yes, I get to have this. And it's that energy from, I need someone to give me permission or tell me what to do, to, I know myself, I trust myself, and therefore I do what is right for me. That is the shift. That's the switch in your energy, in your decision making, in your actions, that makes you feel safe within yourself, even if you're doing something that terrifies you. And that is the woman you are becoming on the Next Level You journey. So doors will be opening on Thursday night and there is a huge announcement coming. So make sure you are signed up for Manifest That Shit and catching up on the replays if you've not already signed up. If you're coming live, I will see you there. And I want this week, these free workshops, to begin activating that woman within you And for those of you who are ready to take the next step and to dive in deeper, the invitation to Next Level You will be there at the end of the week. So mark your calendars for Thursday. And if you have any questions about this work, about this topic, or even your favorite like takeaway from this episode, something you picked up that really resonated with you, maybe you're dealing with this yourself right now, I would love to hear from you. So please DM me on Instagram. I'll pop the link in the show notes. And if you are interested in Next Level You and you also want to DM me with questions about the program and maybe your questions around if it's the right fit for you, I'd also love to hear from you from that. So see you in Manifest That Shit if you're joining us this week, and I'll see you in next week's episode. In next week's episode, Next Level You will be open and I will be sharing a huge announcement with you. But if you want to be the first to know, you need to be in Manifest That Shit. So I'll see you there.